Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Happy Father's Day. It's good to see you guys and your warm, lovely faces. Hi. Oh man, we should try again, start from the top. One of the attributes of God that we don't talk about a lot is the fact that our God is a gift-giving God. He likes to give gifts. And I think that's something important for us to remember. When we think about God, our Heavenly Father, He's a God that actually likes to give gifts. Like he really enjoys that. I think a lot of dads in the room, we like giving gifts. And you had a father. Hopefully your father gave you gifts too. But gift giving is one of the ways that God shows His love for us. And kind of like gift giving is a way that we show love for one another, one of the ways that God demonstrates His love for us is how He gives. And for God so loved the world that He gave. Yeah, and He continues to give. He gave us His Son, and He gives us now His Holy Spirit, which I need desperately to be a parent. I have just had a rough go at parenting lately. And the other day, we're having a hard time with Polly because she's not sleeping through the night. And it's just like driving me batty because my tool belt for parenting is very limited. Like I have a sledgehammer when it comes. I don't have a chisel. I'm not equipped very well for being a parent, I feel sometimes. But the other day, Polly was having a hard time. And I finally, she was sleeping on the floor in our room. And she was just whimpering and having a hard time. I said, "That's it." Like, that wasn't very, that's actually how I said it. "That's it! Get out of here!" And I drove her into her room, and as she went into her room, I took her pillow, and I spiked her pillow like I was like Gronk on like the like a football player. I spiked her pillow onto the bed, and because I was just so frustrated. I was at the end of my wits, and Grace ran in, and she thought that I had just smacked my daughter with a pillow. It crossed my mind. But I just spiked this pillow. And I then kind of like took a deep breath, counted to 10 in English and Spanish and German, and finally got myself dialed in back. And I was like, okay. And I decided to just lay next to my daughter and sleep with her. But I need the Holy Spirit to be a parent for sure. And I'm so grateful that God, the Father, has given me His Holy Spirit because I draw from it daily to just live. Like I draw from the Holy Spirit just to maintain like an even keel of life, let alone moving forward in my spiritual life. It's Father's Day, so I predict, Prophet Matt in the house, I predict someone's gonna get a tie today. Somebody's getting, another dad's gonna get some new socks today, I predict. I'm just seeing that this, hashtag, Matt is a prophet at vffchurch.com. I predict that someone is going to get some sort of barbecue-related item. I see a grill. No, I see utensils. I see an apron. Yeah, I see that. I think somebody is going to get a nap today. Come on, dads, right? Isn't that what you want more than anything, is a nap? Today is the only day that I will watch golf ever, and it's for one purpose. I want to fall asleep. That is why I watch golf. It's just, it's better than NyQuil. Just puts you right to sleep. And some of you dads, tonight, your gift, or this afternoon, your gift is that you get to choose where you go eat today. And that is an exciting choice. So choose wisely. But everyone likes getting gifts, and even the most humble and the most meek person likes to get gifts. And when someone gives you a gift, it's something that you didn't have to pay for. And that's kind of nice. I mean, which would you prefer, a sandwich that you paid for or a sandwich that was a gift to you? You like the free one better. But when we talk about God giving us gifts, we aren't talking about things and stuff that God gives us. God isn't like Oprah, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. That's not the kind of gift-giving God that we have, and you're just sitting there waiting, do I get a card too? God isn't like Oprah in that way. And you get a car. But God gives us something of so much greater value than a possession. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us his Holy Spirit. I was thinking about the story about Solomon in the Old Testament, and you may be familiar with the story, but in the Old Testament, there's a guy named Solomon, and he was the leader of Israel. And he was doing his best to lead the people wisely. And I can imagine, as a parent, leading my family and leading a church, I need some wisdom when it comes to leading these things. But one night, Solomon has a dream. And in his dream, God comes to Solomon and he asks him, "What do you want?" Wouldn't you love to have that dream where God just comes to you and says, "Carlos, what do you want?" And you just get to say, "Where do I start?" Well, we pick up the discussion in 1 Kings chapter 3. It should be on a slide in front of you. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is where we see Solomon's answer to that question, "What do you want?" And he says this. This is what Solomon says. He says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" You know, when given the chance really to ask for anything from God, Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. Solomon was more concerned with being a faithful servant than anything else, than any other earthly thing. Solomon had in mind, it was his most intimate desire that he would just be a wise leader, a wise steward of the opportunity God has given him versus any other thing. I think if I am really honest and if God came to me and said, "Matt, what would you like?" I would start thinking about a house. I would start thinking about a new this or a new that, or maybe that my hair wouldn't thin out like it is. You know, I would think about some sort of vain kind of thing, a possession, something that will eventually rust and rot and be destroyed. But Solomon asked for something greater than anything. He asked for something more significant. He asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. He didn't give in to the temptation just to ask for more stuff. But Solomon wanted a gift that would have influence. And so listen to God's response as we pick it back up in verse 10. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10. See, this is what God says. He says, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for this. And God said to him, 'Because you asked for this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind.'" Can you just raise your hand if you would like a wise and discerning mind? Can you raise your spouse's hand if you wish that they would have a wise and discerning mind? I can see that from up here because she can't touch me. This is what God says, "Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days." You see, because Solomon asked for wisdom, he gets so much more than just wisdom. When we think about God as our gift-giving God, we should understand that this is part of his nature. He wants to bless us, and he wants to lavish his gifts on us. When we ask according to his will, he is radically more generous than you could ever imagine. You can't dream up the blessings that God wants to give to you because you are a finite, limited human being compared to an infinite God who sees greater scope than you do. There are three primary scriptures in the Bible, and there's a couple others here that talk about spiritual gifts. And I'm not going to read the scriptures. You can make notes. But Romans 12, it talks about a list of spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, and it says that we have the gift of prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, and mercy. That these are actually spiritual gifts. Are any of those, sound good to you? That God would help you, that he would empower you, he would fuel you to acts of greater service. I don't know about you, but my mind doesn't just drift towards serving others. My mind drifts towards taking care of myself. Am I the only one? Is that okay? Just Jake and I, we're the only ones that think like that. But if left to my own wishes, I just think about my own needs, not the needs of others. But the Holy Spirit has come. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that you are mindful of others, that you have in mind to serve other people. What about teaching, the gift of teaching? I know people that have the gift of teaching, and I am in awe of them. I also know people who do not have the gift of teaching. You know, some people really have it. You know, Sharon Maxton is in the room. Guys, quiet. She's here. But she has the gift of teaching. She makes complicated things so simple. She has a gift of teaching. You see it on her life. You hear it through her. And why other people maybe don't. The gift of encouragement. I love people that have the gift of encouragement. Yeah. If you have the gift of encouragement and you call me, I will pick up. If you don't have the gift of encouragement, and I know you don't, and you call me, I might put you to voicemail, and I'll call you later. The gift of encouragement is the gift of someone who, when you speak to them, they put courage inside you. And you just feel like, after talking with them, that there is nothing you can't do. Don't you love people like that? This is one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each of us as part of the body. What about the gift of generosity? That's in Romans chapter 12. By nature, I think many of us are greedy, but because of the Holy Spirit, we want to be generous. We want to live lives of generosity. We've seen the blessing of being generous with our lives, and not just our time, but our finances too. What about the gift of leadership? I mean, some people have the gift of leadership and you just see them going and you just see people behind them all the time. They are gifted to be leaders. What about people who are gifted to have mercy? Aren't these great people to have when things are difficult? In 1 Corinthians, we have another set of gifts, and here we have the gift of wisdom. We talked about wisdom earlier, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. These are things that God the Father gives to us because he's a good father. And he wants to equip you for every good thing that he has for you. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have these ministry gifts. And it says we have, Ephesians chapter 4, it says we have apostles, we have prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, that when the church is functioning, that when these people are functioning in their gifts, that it actually leads to maturity in the fellowship of the church. This is why it's so important that we have different people doing different things and different people participating, because I'm not all five of those and I never will ever want to be, but we have people who have the gift of evangelism, so they should do it. And we have gifts, people who have the gift of being teachers. Walk in it, do it. We have gifts, we have the gift of being a shepherd so they can guide and counsel and care really well. They should do it. And we have apostles who want to create new things, who want to see the gospel move into society. They should do it. And we have prophets and, well, we don't want prophets. I'm just joking. The church needs prophets. The church needs people who see distinctly black and white. We need people who help diagnose the ills of society and implement God's truth to those things. We need prophets. I get lots of emails, and I haven't gotten any from you lately. Thank you for that. I get emails once in a while, and sometimes I get an email, and it's addressed, Dear Pastor, I am Prophet so-and-so. Those are fun to read. Or I get emails, Pastor Matt, it is Evangelist so-and-so. Oh, that's great. Love to meet you. But I get these monthly, and I'm always a little bit cautious about someone who is so quick to throw their title at me, because I'm like, are you now? Who said? I should just email when people do that. I should say, prove it. Would that be funny? Pastor Matt, I'm Evangelist so-and-so from blah, 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 and I'm becoming through town. Prove it. Just prove it. Now, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are shepherds, there are teachers, but I'm looking for someone to live in it, not just have a label that says they do it. Because the gifts of the Spirit, they're not just labels, they're not just things you put on your business card, they're actually things that you live in and that you walk in. So, Eitan is an evangelist, not because he has a hat that says so. He's an evangelist because I've seen his life. You can't go to a park with Eitan without him like seeing people, three people get saved, two delivered, six baptized. Like he just naturally does it. Heidi, do you take him to the grocery store ever? Because it would take forever. It'd be a full day experience. Where's Eitan? Where's Dad? Winning people to the Lord. He'll be back soon. But the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has for us, they're for you to live in. They're for you to function in. They're not just a good idea. They're actually supposed to be part of your identity, part of the thing that fuels you here on earth. It's a long list, but these are the gifts that God has for us. These are some of the things that God empowers for us to live in. But none of the gifts of the Spirit were meant to give the recipient some sort of badge of honor, accolades, applause, even respect. The gifts that God gives us are meant simply to glorify God and build his church. That's why you get the gifts of the Spirit in your life. So if you are pursuing God for the gifts of the Spirit for any other reason, then your motives are skewed. And I don't know if God is really going to honor that. And you say, God, help me be a teacher so that I can have everyone look at me as I talk sometime. If you say, God, help me be a better teacher because I want to glorify you and build your church, I think he goes, I can work with that. I can work with a heart like that. But God gifts us based on a couple things. He gifts us based on our needs and our wants and his purposes for our lives. But God has good gifts for us. I was thinking that earthly gifts usually fall into one of or two categories. Some gifts serve a practical purpose and some gifts are fun, right? Some gifts are practical and some gifts are fun. And you don't have to go any further than the Kladnik household on Christmas morning to see who gives what kind of gifts. When Grace and I open up our stockings, we've been married 14 years now. She has endured 14 years with me. And on Christmas morning, you can tell the difference between Grace and I and the types of gifts we give just from our stockings. And so, you know, you get the stocking. Well, I think all about all the practical gifts that Grace would like. So the things I always put in Grace's stocking, men, just have my back on this. Spatula. Chapstick. A couple pairs of tweezers. Because she loses them. She loses them. I'll put in there like some soap, not even good, like antibacterial soap, like just soap, good, fine dollar store soap. I'll just fill her stocking full of useful things. And I look at her and say, don't you like all six pairs of tweezers? Those are great. They're nice. Stainless steel. I give her all these practical things that she gets to use. Okay, so that's the stocking I give Grace, and she opens it. The stocking she gives me has fake teeth, like the wax teeth. She'll have in there, like one of those little paddle boards with a little ball, you do that. Yeah, see, she's not even denying it. Or those little clappy, the stick with like the hands, and you move it and it goes, clack, clack. She'll give me some of those. She'll give me some of those little pop things with the little confetti. What is it? What am I going to do with that stuff, Carlos? See, Grace thinks fun. I think practical. The most romantic gift I gave Grace was a kettle. A hot water kettle. Because I think practically, she'll love it because she gets to use it, and she thinks he'll love it because he gets to enjoy it. Well, the gifts of the Spirit are both practical. You need them, and they also make life better. They are also, like, the gifts of the Spirit are not only just to help you survive, but help you thrive. That'll preach right now. Hashtag, I don't know. I forgot what I said already. Some gifts are specific and they serve a specific purpose. Even the gifts of the Spirit, they serve a specific purpose. And some gifts of the Spirit, they're simply fun to function in. So think about the gift of wisdom. Not necessarily fun, but very practical. Or maybe the gift of healing. that's fun. I mean, wouldn't you just like a life like that where when you see sick people, they get healed? That sounds like fun. I'd want to live in that. Practical gifts are necessary gifts, gifts that help you do something, gifts that you need. And fun gifts, they don't always serve a primary purpose. They're just fun to walk in. And I've learned that Grace and I are just very different when it comes to that. But God gives us both practical gifts and he gives us fun gifts for us to live in. Another practical gift I gave Grace that she didn't enjoy. I'll sell it on eBay later. But she was pregnant. We're getting ready for this new baby. And one of our struggles, and this will let you know how my family life is one of our struggles is at night we are going to bed and we are watching the iPad. We are watching Netflix on iPad. One of the struggles in our household is who is going to hold the iPad. That is the drama of the Kladnik house. Because I don't like holding the iPad, she doesn't. You try propping it up, it slides out. I have this great idea, and Amazon is just one click away. So I bought this 4-foot-long retractable arm that fixes to the frame of the bed. Because I envisioned this. I envisioned that I would just lay in bed. We would lay in bed on our back, and this arm would reach over, and then the iPad would just hover like held by an angel, just right there. Doesn't it sound better? So I bought this thing on Amazon and it came in the mail and I was so excited. Grace, I can't wait to show you the gift I got you. You're gonna love it. And she's just like, what is that? And so we set it up and it doesn't work like I was misled. But I think about practical things, not necessarily fun things. I'm taking offers if anybody wants. Carlos, you need one of those? Help me out, dude. So God gives us practical things we can use, and he gives us fun things to enjoy. He gives us spiritual gifts as an overflow of his character. I want you to look at Luke chapter 11 really quick. Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, we read about the Lord's Prayer, or maybe you want to call it the disciples' prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Man, you guys haven't been saved long. I'm just joking. Our Father who art in heaven, you've heard that prayer before, and you have to read it in King James because you can't remember it any other way. But after Jesus teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer, after this, he tells a little bit of a story. He gives a parable. He gives this little illustration. And because of this, when you... knowing how to pray is important. But knowing who you're praying to is more important. So just knowing how to recite the request, that it's part of prayer. But knowing the heart of the hearer, I think, is way more important. So Jesus is saying, here, when you pray, pray like this. But I need you to understand the heart of the hearer too. Because if you understand the heart of the hearer, it's going to change the posturing of your prayer in the first place. When you understand the heart of the hearer. Okay, so anyway, so Jesus teaches them how to pray, but then he gives them this story. And we catch up in Luke chapter 11. I want to read this to you. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, don't bother me, the door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence. And that's a word you don't use very often. But yet, because of his rudeness, because of his brassness, because of his boldness, because of his shamefulness, he'll get up, he will rise, and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And listen to this. This is the best part. In verse 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Haha, joke's on you. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll give him a scorpion? Haha. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. Here's the big idea. You'd be annoyed to be woken up by a rude, brass, bold, and shameless request by a friend, but you would respond with grace too, because that's what friends do. A father can be inconvenienced to take you to LAX at 5 o'clock on a Friday. A father can be inconvenienced to take you to the airport on a Friday while you probably won't call your boss to do the same favor. I say this for a reason, because you see God as one of those two things. He is either a friendly, loving, compassionate father, or he's an authoritative boss. I can inconvenience my father to help me out because he's my father and I know his heart towards me. But I can't call my boss, Dennis Easter, the head of Foursquare, and say, "Dennis, you in town? Do you mind swinging me by the airport?" Because he's my boss. He's not my father. And I think we look at God in one of these two ways. He's either an authoritative boss who we're afraid of, who we would rather have limited conversation with, or he's like a friendly, grace-filled father who wants to offer us good things. I think we see God in one of those two ways. But we need to start thinking about God as a good father and not so much like an angry boss. But when we ask God the Father, it will be given. When we seek God the Father, we'll find him. And when we knock, he will answer. Consistently and with confidence, we can come to him. God is like a father that responds to our request with radical and lavish grace. You know, when we come to God with our petition, our request, our prayer, we can do so with extreme confidence because he's not a boss, he's a father. And because he's a father, he has good things for us. And because he's a father, he has a responsibility to nurture and care for us, and he does so very, very well. Solomon, he got this chance to ask God for anything. Look right up here at me. Solomon got this chance to ask God for anything. And Solomon didn't ask for more stuff. He didn't ask for greater authority. He just asked for wisdom to lead people better. And scripture teaches us that God is our Father, and that when we come to him and we ask him for something to eat, he doesn't give us something evil instead. He gives good gifts to his children because he's a good father. This idea of God being good, it's part of his character. He can't function outside of his goodness. That part of him doesn't exist. So I have this feeling that God's love is so great. And I think sometimes we think that if we disappoint God, that we also stopped his love. And we think that if we did something disapproving for God, that he just says, "Well, because you did this, I can no longer love you anymore." But do fathers love like that? I mean, your kids make dumb decisions. Like, children make dumb decisions. We have made dumb decisions. And I hope that your father didn't stop loving you because of your dumb behavior. Because I think God's love for us and his approval for us, they can actually coexist. So God can love you and disapprove of what you're doing at the same time. Come on, man. There's not one and the same thing. So God the Father, he loves you. And because he loves you, he gives you good gifts. And because he loves you, he disapproves of you, but he doesn't withhold his love from you. I mean, I can't think of a scenario, and I've heard everything now in ministry that you could ever hear, but I can't think of my daughters, I got two of them now, I forget, coming to me with any sort of issue that I would say, hold up, Mabel, hold up, Polly, get that sorted out and then come to me. That is not what a loving father does. A loving father, this is exactly what a loving father does. He sees his dirty, broken, hurting child coming his direction, and he gets down to their level, and he extends arms wide open. And I could care less about the mess that is on her that will be on me. I just need to be close to my child. So when we think about God being far away and distant and removed and unconcerned with your current situation, you are viewing God as a boss and not as a father, because the Father meets you in your most immediate point of need, and he comes to you. Think about the prodigal son. He saw his son afar off, and he ran to him. It's a picture of the Father. So whatever your heart is at today, we're going to sing a song called Good, Good Father. You may sing it sometimes. You're a good, good employer. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're a good, good boss. You pay the bills. He's a good, good father. A father that meets you. A father that's not concerned about your brokenness. He wants to embrace you and hold you and see you healed and restored, because that's what fathers do best. Part of the identity of a father is that nurturing and caring and protecting. So when we don't allow God the Father to nurture and care and protect us, we hold part of God away from us that is the most intimate part of God that I need. So we're going to sing a song and then we're going to close. So God, we come to you this morning, and God, I pray that there would be something that changes in our mind, that we would stop looking at you as some sort of authoritative figure, some sort of boss, some sort of cosmic man in the sky who pulls the threads and dictates life here on earth. But God, we want to see you as a father, a good, good father, a father who loves us and cares for us, a father who gives us good gifts. And God, we just want to see that part of our mind corrected, where we have thought of you differently from who you really are. Because God, we want to cry out to you, Abba, Father. We want to cry out to you, Daddy. We want to have an intimate relationship with you, that you're not God far away. You're not God inconvenienced. You're not God that is too busy for our concerns. You're a daddy. And we can come to you boldly and bravely and with confidence. Amen. Hey, I want to do something special, and I felt like the Lord told me this morning, so bear with me. Can all the ladies sit down, please? Can all the ladies sit down? Sorry. Thank you for submitting. So we've got all the men in the room. I wanted to pray something very specific over every man in this room, and I want to pray that you and I would grow in wisdom this year. I tell you, I need wisdom for every aspect of my life. My parenting, my being a husband, being an employee, being a neighbor. Every aspect of my life, I need wisdom. And I'm so thrilled that the Bible teaches us in James that we can, if any of you lacks wisdom, men, can any of you just say, I lack some wisdom? I lack wisdom. James, Jeremy isn't raising his hand, Lord. Convict his heart. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So men, I just speak that we would step into a new season of wisdom and understanding. God, that we would be like Solomon when given the opportunity to have anything. We would say, God, give me wisdom and understanding as I lead. As I serve, God, help me to have wisdom. God, I pray that there would just be something wise that washes over us, that we would start to look at problems and challenges differently, that we start to look at our bank account, our finances, our mortgage, our relationships, our working situation with greater wisdom, greater understanding. God, I believe that because of your Holy Spirit, you can lift us up from seeing things as they here and now, and we can start looking at things from your divine and your heavenly perspective. So God, lift our eyes from our immediate circumstances and give us your perspective. God, I pray that men would experience just this real wisdom and understanding, this knowledge, this gift that you have given us to walk in. So God, as we make decisions, help us make decisions, God, that honor you, that glorify you, that sees your kingdom come here on earth. So God, we want to be a part of your establishing your kingdom here on earth, and God, would happen first inside of our hearts. So God, for every man in this room, God, we pray and we speak wisdom over that man. And God, I pray that this would be more than like a badge of honor, more than a label, more than a something that they just tout on their Facebook, but we would actually live in a life of wisdom. Yes, that our words and our actions would be covered with wisdom from on high. Amen. Amen. If you receive that, just say, come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Thanks, man. Be the church. Please join us for our Father's Day yummy eats out the side door.